verses 1 to 11. And Luke has his own special emphases. Of course, the message is the same. That is, he is not here, but he has risen. But there are some nice themes from the gospel that really coalesce here in chapter 24. So we'll try to notice some of them as we go along. So we start out with kind of a double time reference in verse 1. Tede miaton sabbaton, on the first of Sabbaths, which is the idiom, first day of the week. So a dative of time when, right? And then we have orthrubatheos. Orthros means dawn, and bathus means deep. So deep dawn in the genitive. So during deep dawn. Okay? So on the first of the week, during deep dawn. It's early in the morning. That's one of the nice experiences when you get up, you know, to go to the Easter sunrise service. You know, make sure you get up actually when it's still dark and walk outside and, you know, kind of relive it a little bit. Not that you're going to have an experience or anything like that. Unto the tomb they came, and they were carrying pherousai. We'll take that participle just as kind of, you know, going along with the main verb. And they were carrying, now it's feminine, so we've picked up from chapter 23 that these are the women who have been waiting during the Sabbath according to the commandment, verse 56. And they were carrying which they had prepared spices. The word order is a little funny to us, but it's easy enough. So they were carrying the spices which, hey, toimasan, they prepared. Now this is kind of fun, verses 2 and 3. We have two heoruns. And they found tan lithan apa kekilismenan apa tu nemeu. Now you could do this participle a couple of different ways. It's predicate position. And after a verb like heurisko, heuron is the aorist indicative of heurisko, third person plural, you could make it into a participle of indirect discourse and translate it. They found that the stone had been rolled away. Okay. I wonder if that's pushing maybe a little too hard. And in fact, you could just take this predicate position participle in a way that's variously labeled. But the upshot of those labels is that it's sort of acting like an adjective, even though it's not in attributive position. And I rather think that's easier here and works just as well. Veltz, I think, in his grammar, calls these supplementary participles. Is that right, Bruce? Is that supplementary? That's what he calls them. So they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And after they had entered, I like this, uch heoron. They found one thing, but they didn't find another thing. One of the contrasts in this, in the Easter story in Luke, and I suppose it's probably in all of them, is you know, what the human beings involved expected and what, in fact, God had done. I mean, it really is about God's action independent of the expectations and the thoughts of those who are still only thinking, you know, the things of men. And so I kind of like that. On the one hand, I don't mean to criticize the St. Luke, but he should have had a men and a de here. On the one hand, they found this, but on the other hand, they did not find this. So, again, verse 3, aselthusai, after they had entered, we get these feminine participles that are a little unfamiliar to us just because most of the characters in the biblical narrative are masculine, but again, these are the women. After they'd entered in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, and now we get Luke's septuagintal kai agenita construction. So literally, and it happened while, en to plus the infinitive is almost always temporal. Apo reisthai, this is apo reo. In both the active and the middle, it seems to mean to be perplexed. You know, I was glad, Paul, that you, what did you call that hierek, a hierek unmeaningous? What's it called?
A hierek cognitus, which simply means a companion hierek.
A companion hierek, okay. In other words, a hierek that doesn't mean anything. Well, I was reminded, I think I might have mentioned a few weeks ago or months ago, that one grammar I was reading said that we ought to have a category for the genitive called the aporetic genitive. From aporeo, to be perplexed. That's what you call it. That's what you call a genitive when you don't know what it means, okay? You call it an aporetic genitive, okay? And I had advocated year as a genitive of ambiguity, but that's I like aporetic better. Anyway, this is the verb, aporeo. In Galatians, you know, Paul says, I am perplexed about you, and so forth. So, and it happened while autos is the accusative case subject of the infinitive, right? So, ento aporeste autos, while they, still feminine, the women, while they were perplexed and confused together is complex, about this, and behold, look, hine, two males, ep estesan, from ephistemi, to stand by. This is the weak aorist, and it is intransitive. Two men stood by them, to them, in estheta, in clothing gleaming. Astrapteo means to gleam or to flash. So these are sharp dressers, right? Something is going on here. Verse 5. Emphabon de genamenon auton, kai klinuza ta prosopa. This is a long genitive absolute with two participles, right? And, you know, again, how hard do you work this? After they had become afraid and had kept on reclining their faces to the dirt, to the ground. So, something like that. Again, the genitive absolute with two participles, probably temporal. They said to them, that is the two men in shining clothing, said to them, why are you seeking the living guy, ton zonta, with the dead guys? It's a good question. And once again, it highlights, you know, what they did not believe and what they did not expect. You know, part of the gospel proclamation is that God doesn't wait on us. God doesn't ask our advice. You know, God doesn't either need or want our help. See, and this is a good text for that. I mean, you could really work this theme a lot if you're going to preach on Easter Sunday. And the women are the best humans in the narrative, for crying out loud. At least they're there. You know, as it turns out, the 11, you know, at the end of the text are, you know, losers. They come to bat in the bottom of the fifth, bases are loaded, and they strike out. Unlike that divine-like figure, Mark McGuire, right? I just heard he was nominated to be mayor of St. Louis. Have you heard that? Verse 6. Verse 5. Why are you looking for the living guy with the dead guys? Uk estinhoda. He is not here. Allah egerthe. But he rose. This is an interesting question. Is it he rose or he was raised? It's an aorist indicative passive, right? But I think Veltz has a good point here, and he's one of the few that really works this. I always hate to admit it when he's right, but that perhaps egero is one of these verbs where the passive voice of an originally transitive verb, you know, you can raise something, doesn't any longer, at least not always, have a fully passive meaning. So it's not he was raised, but rather simply he rose. Okay, or in English we often translate it he is risen. Kind of give it a perfect translation, even though it's an aorist indicative passive. That's the gospel. Uk estin hoda ala egirthe. He rose. Now the angel brings up the theme of Jesus' words. Mnes theite. Mimneskamai is deponent. So this would be the aorist imperative passive, second person plural. Remember, hos, not only as, but how, elalesen. He spoke to you, ete on. Still being, and the referent is the unexpressed subject of the main verb, of the clause, elalesa. So, while he was still in Galilee. Again, the emphasis is, Jesus knew what was going on. He talked about it. You forgot it. Now recall, you know, what he said. Who's in charge here? Who's accomplishing this great salvation? This is, again, this is good. You can really proclaim this stuff. You can draw God's people's focus and attention away from themselves, away from their capabilities, and point them to the great manifestation and independent action of God in Christ. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying. The word order here is a little unusual, but I think is probably fronted for emphasis. Tan huyan tu anthropu really belongs in the hati clause. It belongs after the hati. But you see this kind of anticipation, or sometimes it's called prolepsis, and it's a way of emphasizing. So we're emphasizing the fact that the Son of Man had to do something. So it translates saying, hati, that, and now you get the Son of Man in the translation, that for the Son of Man, paradothenai, to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, and not only into their hands, but in the Lucan Passion narrative, that he would be numbered among the transgressors, right? And to be crucified, starothenai, and, dative of time when, on the third day, to rise from anistemi, was necessary. Again, to translate it that way makes it clear that all those the action of those three infinitives is the it of it is necessary. Right? So what was necessary? That the Son of Man be handed over into the hands of sinners, that he be crucified, and that on the third day he rise. All of that was necessary. Once again, who's running the show? And of course, just do a little word study on dei in Luke's gospel. It's more prominent in Luke than any of the other gospels, this strong theme of divine necessity of Jesus moving toward Jerusalem to suffer and die and to rise and to be exalted, ascended into heaven. This is what Jesus said before they even understood it. He said it while they were still in Galilee. Verse 8, Kai emnestheson ton phrematon autu. Mimneskamai takes the genitive there, object, and they remembered the words or the sayings of him. Verse 9. And here now we have an aorist participle along with an aorist indicative main verb. So probably take it, translate it just as another aorist verb. And they returned from the tomb and ap engelon. They announced your friend, the liquid verb from angelo, angelo engela. So this is the third person plural, aorist indicative active. They announced tautapanta, all these things, tois hendika, kai pas and tois loi pois, to the 11 and to all the rest. There's a people here anticipating probably, by the way, the 120 at Pentecost, so it's not just the 11 who hear this, but also the rest of the people hear it. Now, who did the telling? Verse 10, and they were the Magdalene Mary and Joanna, excuse me, and Mary, the one of James. This probably means the mother of James, and the rest, feminine once again, with them. So there are at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many does rest include? I don't know. 6. How many women are there altogether? 6, 7. They all went as a group, right? And elegon. See, they kept on saying to the apostles these things, right? Kai ephaneson. This is from Phino. It's one of these six principal parts. It doesn't have a theta. So it's ephane is the aorist indicative passive from Phino. And Phino means to shine or show or manifest, and then in passive to be manifested or to appear. And we got to scan to get the subject. So let's see. Kai ephaneson enopion auton hose leros ta hremata tauta. There's the subject. These words appeared. You go back to the verb, enopion auton, before them, that is, the apostles, hose as leros, foolishness, idle talk, meaningless chatter, kai epistoun autais, from apisteo, this is an imperfect. So they kept on saying, and the 11 kept on unbelieving, okay? And it should be translated that way. This is not doubt, see? Because when you don't think that Jesus has risen from the dead, it's not doubt, it's unbelief, see? They don't believe. Well, once again, the human characters, don't come out very good in the narrative. But that's the point, is that Christ had to be numbered in the place of and for the transgressors. And the salvation that he accomplishes, the resurrection to life, is independent of what anyone expects. And so, you know, that's maybe, I would see that at least as one of the major, if not the major theme of the text, that's certainly preachable. And the necessity of Christ's resurrection, you could work that quite well. Let's see, you know, the power of Christ's promise. And it's kind of nice because they remember Christ's words, the women remember Christ's words, and then his words and the fact that they spoke of now become the women's words, which they relate to the 11. But of course the 11 don't believe until later on, and you know how the story goes. I think we stay actually in Luke 24 for a couple of weeks now, because we've got the post-resurrection appearances. So you get the road to Emmaus and other good stuff like that. Good. Comments? Questions? Insights? Oblique grammatical points? Aporetic genitive. Okay. Maybe we can end in plenty of time for once. Yeah. Great. Thank you.